Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, this is going to be a fun one.
Hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. I have been looking forward to this for such a long time. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast and back to the Business Radio X microphone with the Semantics Group, Mr. Steve Maul. How you been, man?
I've been great. It's always great to see you guys. I really appreciate you having me in today.
Well, Steve, before we get too far into things, can you tell us about the Semantics Group? How are you serving folks?
So, you know, we started about 7 years ago now, and the focus within the business is really very straightforward. It's all about helping our clients in both the getting customers and keeping them, because you talk a lot about, a lot of people talk about sales effectiveness or sales technique, but the selling process doesn't end with the contract. So the whole idea of keeping customers becomes really important to our clients as well. That is by far one of the most costly things to do. If you're not paying attention to that along the way, you have to then reacquire customers, and that becomes expensive. So we focus on getting and keeping customers for our clients. And the idea behind that is looking at the processes they use, the methodologies, the techniques, the skills, all of those things that are required to do those things, and making sure they're optimized, making sure they're easy to execute, making sure they're effective, and that's so within the organization and as they go customer facing in their world.
Now, what's your background? Were you always involved in sales and sales effectiveness?
My original background is that of an accountant, which I learned very early in my career was not the right job for me. I love things that balance. So balance sheets and profit and loss and all that kind of stuff was really helpful. But I got involved in technology very early on in my career with the implementation of software to help do accounting. And that led me to go to work for a software company that did that, and that led to a career in sales. And since then, I've never looked back. I could never go back to being an accountant. Selling's in my blood.
So in the accounting industry, though, selling, that's not usually part of their DNA.
No.
You must have stuck out a little bit.
Well, I've always been a little bit of an odd fellow, so I have no problem saying that. It's one of those things where it's a hybrid thing, because I do, like I said, I like puzzles and I like making things balance and finding how they fit together, which helps on the process development side of what I do today. But sitting in a room with the green eye shade and the number two pencil, right? Yeah, the 10 key and all that kind of stuff, that grew boring pretty quickly. And when I started with customer interaction and understanding what they were trying to do in their business and looking at how we could help them accomplish those things, that's what makes
those are the puzzles fun. You wanted to
that's
solve.
That's the puzzle I want to fix.
Now, did sales come easy to you right out of the gate, or did you struggle with it at first?
Well, there are two sides of that. So interacting with people has always been an easy thing for me. I'm a naturally outgoing individual, but the process of selling was a struggle in my early years. It's understanding how you do things, and it's not just going and telling them what your product can do or your solution can deliver. It's about making it real for them. It's about understanding the connection they have to have to it. You can think it's wonderful all day long, but until they see that solution connection, nothing's going to happen. So that's the part that was hard to learn, because it's really getting inside the motivations behind their desire to purchase, or the outcomes they hope to seek to achieve, not just that they need this particular product or they're asking about this particular product. And far too often, people, you know, there's the old saying, telling ain't selling. And for a lot of, especially new or early career sales professionals, that can be a daunting thing to get overcome the telling part of it and getting into the selling part.
Now, in your work, is your firm doing the actual selling, or you're giving tools to your clients so they can be kind of self-contained and they can do it this themselves?
It's all the latter. We don't rep for a client or anything like that. Our job is to sit down with a client and understand what they're trying to achieve from greater effectiveness inside their organization. And that could be revenue growth. It could be customer loyalty. It could be salesperson retention, keeping their key performers. So we look at four major areas of how an organization could, in fact, or how we could help an organization. And that's everything from assessment of their current staff, processes, techniques, methodologies, into the strategy that they're trying, that they might want to undertake in order to improve those outcomes that they're looking for. Then we talk about how we're going to implement and help that organization learn. And I don't mean just the people. I mean the organization. Organizational learning. How do processes need to adjust? How do people interact with one another? How do we make it the internal practice of selling easier? How do we apply that lubrication within the organization to make revenue generation, customer retention more effective? And then lastly, it's the coaching. It's the ongoing performance enablement, the performance support. Because once an organization, anytime anybody learns something, it can fade. And so it's that repetition, it's the support necessary, it's the continuous improvement, the refinement of all the initial work that is what allows us to stay with an organization. Clearly, typically a smaller role, we're not doing as much, but we're checking in with them over time to make sure that what they decided to do is having the right impact, making adjustments as necessary, and continuing that refinement and improvement over time.
Like, this isn't a tactic. This is kind of a holistic strategy that the whole organization has to kind of participate in order to be effective.
Well, yeah. So I was saying this to someone earlier. You know, a lot of people think of sales enablement as a job function. And what sales enablement is a corporate culture. And if it's not, then you're making your salespeople work a lot harder than they need to. Mm-hmm. If that function of enabling the sales process is limited to a group of people, then the rest of the organization doesn't understand what they're trying to do. It's not that they intentionally put up roadblocks. They just happen. And they don't understand why it's a roadblock, and they don't understand why that change is necessary. So you're correct. It's completely holistic. If the organization's not behind it, we may not even engage because that will – that there will just be too many internal – inertia elements to overcome.
Or it's friction in places there doesn't have to be. And if everybody's working together, everybody's kind of singing from the same choir sheet.
Right. And friction in and of itself is not a bad thing. I actually like friction in the process because if you think of a race car, the reason race car tires are flat is because they want as much contact with the road surface as possible. Mm-hmm. And cars only move forward because of friction. Those tires grabbing the road is friction. And if you think of the best race cars, they have great friction, so they have traction, and they're able to react. So traction and reaction are what helps you win a race. And if an organization can undertake that says, there's no one person that has the best idea. We can come in from the semantics group, and just because we suggest something doesn't mean it's necessarily the best. We are open to the dialogue that will lead to the better outcome. And it's that sharing of ideas, the sharing of practices that we've seen work elsewhere, what their concerns are about those, that's the friction that helps us gain the traction.
Right, but you don't want the pit crew, each guy doing something different.
That's correct. You know, yeah, if I come in for an oil change, or if I come in to repair a tire, I don't want you.
They have to be very right. Kind it's, of aligned.
It's not time to change out the spark plugs, right?
Right.
Well, the reason I was smiling while you guys were talking is I've been on several sales teams, and I had a colleague that used to refer to part of the organization as sales prevention.
Right. Exactly.
And he was not altogether wrong about it.
That happens more often. You know, that's a very prevalent feeling among some sales organizations. And like I said, it is not that they are intentionally undertaking
right.
that. But that's the perception that the field can get. And through communication comes understanding, and we hopefully can get them all understanding what's the mission. And there are clearly things that have to be done within an organization for compliance, regulatory compliance, right, and other things that have to be done for ethical and legal reasons. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they should not be adversarial against one another
right.
inside the business.
Now, are you the industries you work in, or is it across the board, or it sounds like you primarily started in software or in technology?
Yeah, I started in tech, and just because I know more about that than others, that's where I have tended to gravitate. Although we do have clients in other industries, not a ton of them yet, but we're the industry is less important. The key to us when we consider forming a relationship with a client is, are they doing business-to-business selling? Mm-hmm. So we're not in the consumer market. I don't have the expertise, and I'm not going to add it to the team to help you do better consumer marketing, right. Better shelf space optimization, right. In the retail environment or something like that. But what we can do is apply what it's like to sell a business solution to another business. And because the buying entity, regardless of the industry they're in, still is looking for one of those business outcomes. And when you think about business outcomes, you are thinking about revenue growth, cost reduction, profitability growth, market expansion, customer loyalty, customer satisfaction. The business outcomes are the same. So we can apply that our expertise to those functions, whether we have specific industry experience. Myself, as an example, I don't have all the industry experience in the world, but I've sold to virtually any industry. I understand what they're trying to accomplish, and I have a very vast pool of talent and resources to bring to bear. I'll find somebody in that industry if that's what they need.
And then the pain points that these people are having are in those same areas, right? If they're having customer acquisition or process, or the team's not talking to each other, those are the pain areas that they're having where you guys come in?
Well, like so many things, the presenting problem is not usually the business outcome they're seeking.
Right.
Right. They'll come to us and say, well, you know, it's too sales cycle's too long, or our win rate's down, or the presenting problem, the challenge that they're facing is often the symptom, not the disease,
right.
Right? So what we need to do is dig in on what the disease is and figure out where that's – what the root cause of that is. And then the presenting problem in and of itself doesn't mean it's that an organization is going to spend money to fix it. We have all seen where an organization has a problem they wish they could fix, but when you go to get budget for it, they say no, because it's not high enough of an anticipated return on that spend. So if there's not enough business impact, nobody's going to fix the problem. So part of what we do is understand the challenge that they face, that the functional problem they're expressing, the impact on the business, and how it's preventing that ultimate business outcome. Because if all three of those aren't there, if you can't make the connection, you're not going to get the funding you need in order to make the change necessary. You're not going to get forget money for a minute. You're not going to get the internal cultural impetus to change that is often necessary in order to achieve those outcomes within the company itself.
So then the higher ups aren't seeing the problem the way you see it?
Or they see the problem, but they don't think that that challenge will fix it, or it's not a big enough challenge. It's not a front burner issue.
Right.
It's like, yeah, talk to me about that time next year, because right now what I'm focused on is
this fire.
Something else.
Right.
Or this more strategic imperative. Mm-hmm. You know, if a company is trying to, as an example, I was talking to somebody who came with me problems, and we went and talked to the executive and say, no. Right now what we're focused on is acquiring another firm in the business. After that, Then we'll talk about how we're going to fix the sales process. Because if you've ever been through a merger, there's a lot. You're not going to fix the process before that, because it's going to get broken no matter what it is.
And then so that's where you guys come in to have a conversation. So it might not be a conversation that's going to lead to a sale today, but you're there as a resource down the road.
Oh, it usually won't lead to a sale today. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm not in the business of selling my services. I'm in the business of helping customers buy. And what that means is it's understanding what they're trying to accomplish and telling the story and helping them in any way I can along the way until they're convinced that engaging us will add greater value. Mm-hmm. And that means that you have to live in their world. You got to get to what they're trying to accomplish. And until that, there will be no sale. And so I never look at it, a meeting, a conversation, as an opportunity to sell. I look at it as an opportunity to understand. And that will help us build a relationship, develop trust, and eventually, through if it's the right thing for both of us to do, then we'll engage.
Now, when you're talking to these firms, and they're all over the country, right? You don't work primarily here. We're in Atlanta.
They're all over the world.
All over the world. And then say that hypothetically they have that, it seems like our sales cycle's creeping up. Like it used to be 6 months and now it's 9 months.
Right.
Are there kind of similar answers to why that is, or that could be just about any reason?
Well, there could be any number of reasons, and there could be things that we need to still explore. But we would start to look at, you know, changes in their customer situation. So is something going on in their typical customer base that is slowing down the decision process or the evaluation process? Is there something going on in their industry that is causing hesitation? Is there something wrong in their sales process that where they're not leveraging the right kind of either solution elements or influence or qualification or any of those things that could lead to a slower close rate or a longer sales cycle? So we don't know. We don't jump to a conclusion of what the answer is. You can't give me one presenting problem and I go, oh, I know the answer to that, because I don't. Until we ask some more intelligent questions and dig in, then we can figure that out.
So it doesn't matter whatever their challenge is, you're going to start by just saying that might be the starting point where you start exploring, but that's not where the answer may lie.
That
the
is
answer
correct.
May lie somewhere totally different once
right.
you dig in a little bit.
Exactly correct.
And then when you start digging in, how long is that kind of discovery period?
How long is a piece of string? It depends. You know, if we can figure out the root cause quickly and we can start an implementation, it can happen fairly fast. If it's a multinational organization that's got cultural changes and everything else that's undergoing, or they're under some sort of business transformation themselves, it may take longer to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to kind of divide up the use cases, the problems that they're dealing with, and start to focus on some things first and know that that will either reveal more or we'll prioritize. We can address this issue first and we'll get to the others later once we figured out how to, you know, their time frame and their best approach to doing that.
And then in these kind of complex organizations, you typically come in with one champion, or do you have to kind of get to a board level in order to really implement the change?
It can be either. It's generally scope dependent. So if you can get a leader who understands the outcomes they're trying to achieve, and you can have a really collaborative discussion about what the causes of those are, and you get that buy-in and that alignment fairly quickly, then it can happen fairly quickly with just one person.
Is there anything that you can share that's kind of, I don't want to say maybe tips or some solutions that they might have at their disposal that maybe they're just not aware of that you are, because you deal with this all the time?
Well, the first one, the universal tip that I think I would encourage everyone to ask themselves or think about when they describe a problem inside their business is to think of two things around that. What do they think is causing it? And if there's more than one, they should just list them out. And kind of what are the things that lead to that? Because it's not always the same thing, and it could be more than one thing. And then the second question is, how does that really impact our results? How does that affect our desired outcome? Because if it doesn't, or if it's not a significant impact, then they have to realize it's going to be harder to get mind share and attention and money in order to fix it.
And well,
yeah, I can't take it anymore. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about this radio show that we're going to do. I mean, obviously, I can tell from the way you describe your work, you find this incredibly rewarding. You love doing it.
I can't imagine doing anything else.
And I can't take it anymore. I want to talk about this show that he's going to do.
All right.
So we're going to let the cat out of the bag here. You're going to be doing on a regular rhythm, a radio show, and you're going to be talking to people about some of these topics, right?
Yeah. We decided we want to do what we're calling Sales Effectiveness Radio, and really appreciate the opportunity to work with you guys further. So we're going to do a monthly show where we're bringing in two or three industry experts about sales effectiveness. And some of them will come from the vendor community. What we really want to do, though, is get people within organizations who struggle with or deal with or have had success with sales effectiveness. And so we want to – and I don't – that's really the parameter we're talking about. I don't want to start to limit it to you know, specific parts of the sales process or specific sales operations or even specific roles. What I want to have is a dialogue about what are the things they're seeing happen. What have they been successful in doing to improve the sales effectiveness within their own organization? And the whole purpose of having this is to start sharing that information to the audience, to the community as a whole, because we shouldn't all have to reinvent the wheel. You know, if it's round and flows downhill under the force of gravity, let's call it a wheel. Let's borrow it from somebody else and share this stuff, because there's no one person who has, like I said earlier, no one person has all the answers. And what we need to do is have a place where we can share those things. I want to get sales leaders in. I want to get salespeople in the conversation. What can make this job better? How do we improve the effectiveness of those in the sales profession and those who support sellers, so that we can make it better for everyone, including the customers?
So now the guests you see are those sales leaders that can come from any industry?
Sales leaders, sales people who deal with the sales operations function, sales people. Anybody who has a perspective on sales effectiveness, I am absolutely open to considering as a guest.
And then they can come from anywhere, or primarily starting out in the Atlanta area?
I want to focus on Atlanta because I want them to be able to come into the studio. Right. Now that might go as you know, west over to Birmingham or Montgomery. Right. It might pull from Athens or even, you know, parts of South Carolina. I anyone who's in the general community who can make it to Atlanta, but sitting here in the room and having the conversation is what I really want to focus on. Well, you guys know the difficulty of doing it over the phone is it's less personal, and I want to have conversation, not just in an interview kind of thing.
And then the listener is anybody in sales in the organization and the leadership of the organization. So the listenership goes beyond the salespeople, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The leadership. I even want to get some customers into the conversation in the coming
That's
months.
That's a great idea.
Who can talk about what it's like to be on the other side of the conversation, other side of the table. What would make it more effective for them from a selling professional? The customer's voice is paramount.
Now, why is it important for you to take the time out of your busy schedule to invest in this kind of education for the community?
Well, two reasons. Like you said, I'm passionate about this, and I love this, and I believe in collaboration and sharing. To try and keep all the knowledge in my head is not the way I work. It is a community, and we all learn. I have learned over my career from countless mentors, professionals, people, colleagues who have been generous with their giving of knowledge, insight, performance improvement, all those things. I couldn't be where I am today without the gifts I have received along the way. I want to make sure that people, at least in our listening area, have that same opportunity to hear from others who are dealing with the same issues, who have either feel like there's camaraderie in the challenge, or there's a solution they might consider looking at for their own organization.
You and I are going to learn a ton just hanging out during this thing. Just imagine, in a matter of a few of these episodes, the thought leadership and the content that's going to be in the can that people can tap to address these issues. It's going to be fantastic.
That's my goal, is to make this so that it's a resource to the profession. This isn't about anything other than that. I want to make sure there's an opportunity to get voices heard who may not otherwise have a forum.
And we're going to broadcast live, like the second Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, and people are going to want to tap into that, but like so much of the material on this network anyway, it's going to be available on demand.
Yeah,
you can tap it whenever you want.
Yeah, you guys will host that. We're going to have we'll put it out as podcasts on our site so that they're available on demand, no charge. I mean, we want to make sure people have access to this. This isn't about anything other than that.
And March 12th is the kickoff, and it'll be on a rhythm of second Tuesday of the month going
That's right.
forward.
That's right.
And if somebody wanted to learn more about the show and your firm, we're sending them to your website?
www.semanticsgroup.com, SEMANTICS group.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for sharing the story. And to your point, Stone, I bet you that this information is going to get, we'll share it with some of the professors in the colleges. We're known it could be part of the curriculum at some of these schools.
Oh, yeah. Sales. Would you be open to that, maybe sharing this with the universities?
Absolutely. And I'd love, like Kennesaw has a great program on sales professionalism. I'd love to get somebody from the faculty or even some of the students, the grad students who are in that program, to come on over and talk to us about what they're seeing.
Right, because you want to get it. This is information from the horse's mouth. This isn't theoretical, hypothetical stories. This is the real stuff that's happening in real time.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Steve Mall, the Semantics Group, thank you so much.
Thanks again for the opportunity to come in today. I really appreciate working with you guys.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.